Chapter 20. The devil, you say? So, Norm, how come you were only in prison for 4 months when you thought you were in for 40 years? Well, Adam Egan, I say, I just didn't hear right. The judge had given me a sentence of 4 months, but I thought he'd given me 40 years, which is longer. I'd played it right, though. I'd taken care of Lorne even from jail. He'd visit me every week at Rikers, and he'd always leave a few grains heavier. But how did the show cover all the time that you were gone, Norm? Well, that was just dumb luck. I'd only been on the show a handful of episodes, and nobody knew who I was when I was sent away. When I got out, I had 3 shows to go in the first season to prove myself, and I was determined to be a star. I should have been having the time of my life, wearing free world clothes and enjoying free world delights. You must have been living it up, huh? No, Adam Egan, not one bit. Sarah never left my mind. Don't tell me you kept trying to get her. Yes, Adam Egan, and it nearly cost me everything. I know this story will be hard to tell, so I measure out a double shot of morphine and press the Surette smoothly under my tongue. And once again, the present becomes the past. I was sitting at the bar drinking Wild Turkey 101 and talking aloud to myself. It's not fair. I'd do anything to have Sarah for my very own. Anything? Whispered a voice to my right. And I turned and faced the sneering smile and merry, wicked eyes of a stranger sitting next to me. Yeah, sure, stranger, I said. Why, I'd give up anything if only Sarah would love me the way that I love her. Perhaps I could be of service, the stranger said. And he threw his head back and roared a loud, mirthless laugh that filled the room. What you laughing at, mister? I said. I mean, no offense, but I've heard better jokes. His yellow eyes narrowed and hardened. Do you not know who I am? He hissed, and a vague whiff of sulfur touched my nose. Well, you're not Bob Hope, I'll tell you that. I mean, that joke fell flat, mister. You were the only one in the whole joint laughing. It was downright embarrassing. Silence, bellowed the stranger, and now the sulfur fully invaded my nostrils, and I choked. I have been called by many names. Perhaps you know me as Lucifer, Mephistopheles, the Prince of Darkness, Beelzebub, Old Scratch, the Lord Host of the Hoary Netherworld, the Beast, the Archfiend, the Father of all Lies, the Great Deceiver, the Fallen Angel. I'm Satan himself. Sorry, buddy, never heard of you, I said, as I turned back to my half-finished Wild Turkey 101. I'm the devil, you moron, he said. So that was it. The devil. It all made sense now. The stench of brimstone, his wolfish yellow eyes and teeth, the red pitchfork leaning against his bar stool. I can make it so that this Sarah girl will love you with all her heart, said the unholy one. Sign this, and she is yours. The devil produced a parchment, tattered, yellow, and ancient, and placed it before me on the bar. It read, "The one you love will love you forever. In exchange, you agree to give the devil your immortal soul, plus 2 beers. I then read the small print. The beers shall be Pabst Blue Ribbon. If they are out of Pabst Blue Ribbon, as is often the case in this particular establishment, then you shall give the devil your immortal soul, plus 2 of whatever's on draft. The price seemed a mite steep to me, but then I thought about how I hadn't lived such an upright life, and that if I refused the deal, but ended up down there anyhow, with the devil raping me for all of time, I'd feel like a right fool. I'll do it, I said. The devil scratched my fingertip with his claw, and blood pooled there as I shuddered and signed the hellish contract. I looked up at the Dark One, but just as he had suddenly appeared, so now he had suddenly vanished into the men's room. I settled up with the barkeep, 6 shots of Wild Turkey 101 that I'd drunk, and 2 Pabst Blue Ribbons for old Ned. 2 weeks went by, and I didn't see Sarah. Normally, a fortnight away from my one true love would have me pacing back and forth in my room like those big cats in the small cages over at the Central Park Zoo. But the funny thing is that when you know a girl loves you more than life itself, you can afford to play it cool. Real cool. When I finally broke and arrived at her threshold, Sarah looked surprised. "I don't know what to say, Norm," she stuttered. But words were needless now. Her eyes spoke to me of yearning, of want, and of need. I took Sarah into my arms and kissed her deep, and then deeper again. But no tongue. This was love, after all. The kiss calmed my doomed soul, and I felt like I was floating, calm, and everything was right in the world. Then I heard the hissing. It was steady, slow, and unrelenting. I recognized the sound immediately, as I had heard it many, many times before. It was the sound of mace. My eyes and lungs filled with the stuff as I stumbled, blind and choking. When the sound finally ceased, I fell backward and hit the back of my head on something hard. I couldn't see or talk, but I could hear just fine. And what I heard was the sound of a purse being rummaged through, and then the unmistakable sound of another can of mace being opened. Then the hissing began again, and I scrabbled backward into a wall as I tried vainly to endure the spray of fire. By my estimate, the first assault had only been about a third of a can. This full can would be much, much worse. 3 times as bad if my calculations were correct. I could only hope that Sarah had escaped. I lost consciousness somewhere during all of this, but I'm here to tell you that nothing will wake you up faster than being thrown off a second-story balcony. I suppose I was lucky a cement alleyway was there to break my fall, but still, it hurt. It hurt like a bastard. I looked up at the balcony, and my beautiful Sarah was there. I was so happy she was okay. And not only was she okay, she was laughing. Well, that got me laughing, too. Although my laugh came out like a loose rattle and sprayed blood on the cement. That made Sarah laugh even harder. "Love sure is funny, isn't it, Sarah?" I croaked. "One second you're kissing and being in love and all, and the next second some guy breaks into your apartment and starts macing you and the fellow you love." "I don't love you, Norm. I hate your guts." I looked up at Sarah and instantly understood she was telling the truth. She did hate my guts. But she wasn't to blame. I was sure that Dave Attell had made his own diabolical deal. My quarrel was now with the devil himself. I dragged my broken body to the tavern, ordered a whiskey, and asked the barkeep where I could find the devil. He looked at me funny. "He was in here a couple of weeks back," I said. "Yellow wolfish eyes, diabolical laugh, carries a trident." "Oh, you must be talking about Phil Bradshaw," said the barkeep. "He goes by many a name," I said. "Have you seen him?" "Bradshaw," hollered the barkeep. "Man out here looking for you." I spotted the fallen one in the corner, playing a game of Ms. Pac-Man and nursing a Pabst Blue Ribbon. A Pabst Blue Ribbon, I thought to myself. That means some other poor fool lost his soul tonight. "Well, well, well," I shouted angrily, "if it isn't the devil himself." "Where? Where?" the devil cried, looking first here, then there, searching the room. I saw a look of wild alarm in his lupine eyes. "Enough of your malarkey, devil. You reneged on your promise. My true love loves me not. And the way I see it, that means this contract is null and void." I pulled out the ancient parchment with my bloody signature. The devil regained his calm and looked up at me from his chair. He took the document and pulled out some reading glasses. "So, she doesn't love you back, huh?" "No, Sarah Silverman has nothing but ice in her heart for me." "Sarah Silverman?" asked the devil. That's the girl who doesn't love you back? Yeah. Well, you never told me it was Sarah Silverman. What are you, nuts? She's way out of your league, pal. Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. There's a girl who starts work here in about an hour. Sure, she's a little hefty, and her face isn't much to look at, but she's got real nice long hair. Now, if you were to sign another contract, she will be yours forever. And then he began his demoniacal laugh, but quickly thought better of it and pretended he was coughing. You've failed in your task, evil one, and so you must destroy this infernal contract and return to me my immortal soul, I insisted. Trouble over there, Bradshaw, I heard the barkeep yell across the room. No, 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 everything's just fine, Mr. Billingsley. No trouble at all. Well, make sure you keep it that way. Yes, Mr. Billingsley, you bet. You won't hear a peep out of me. The devil turned to me, and I saw he was suppressing his otherworldly rage. Now look, if Sarah Silverman doesn't love you, then it is true I am technically in breach of this contract, but you see there's a problem. I gulped with fear. What's the problem? The two beers. I can't swing it today. Best I can do is give you this one, but it's half empty. Otherwise, it might take me 5-6 days to get my hands on two beers. I haven't been making many deals lately. People are less and less ambitious. They're willing to settle, I guess, at least in this neighborhood. I looked in his evil eyes with dread. So, my soul is yours? I wept. Oh, your soul. Oh, right. Right, your soul. Well, I'll tell you what. How about I give you back your immortal soul, we forget all about the two beers, and I'll burn that contract right now. He grabbed the parchment, borrowed a lighter from a nearby patron, and set it ablaze. My heart was filled with joy. True, I didn't win the love of Sarah Silverman, although I continued to try each day via unanswered phone calls, unanswered emails, unanswered yelling at her apartment door. But not everyone can say they beat the devil.